Thank you. Amy Bean Stoll will share our gospel reading.
Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This was Luke 9, chapter 28 through 36.
When I came in this morning, Andrea Staffeld was finishing this amazing arrangement for Scythia, just beginning to put forth green, filled with butterflies with the names of First Baptist saints. And she told me, she said, I'm feeling so burdened about what's happening in Ukraine, and she was reminded of a Rudolf Steiner quote. She can give you the whole quote. But that we must trust that the spiritual forces, the spirits are here to help us, to strengthen us, to give us courage to live in faith, is the gist of the quote. And I said, that's perfect. That's perfect. And there was no coordination that Shella put butterflies on the bulletin. I love when the spirit is stronger and works in ways we do not plan. So Andrea and Shella and all of you, this story that Amy just read, we call the Transfiguration. This moment when Jesus goes away to pray, taking Peter and James and John with him, and Moses and Elijah show up. And they're both revealed there in their heavenly glory. I thought about the I've Got Shoes too. When I get to heaven, then I will know the fullness of the glory of God's blessing and love. And this moment was a great revelation to those disciples about who he was. And yet we read that they really didn't, he told them not to say anything, and they really didn't, I think, know what to say about it until later. But, I think when you take just this little bit the way the lectionary does, you can actually miss a really important piece of what was happening here. Because right before that in Luke's gospel, right before that, Jesus had begun to tell them that he was going to go to Jerusalem and he was going to suffer and he was going to die. He was going to be rejected and he was going to die. And then he began to teach them that if anyone wants to become my follower, they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. He was telling them what was going to happen. He was telling them that following him meant going all the way with him. And he was committing himself to the way of the cross, the way of self-giving love, the redemptive power of sacrificial giving to change the world. And he was calling them to follow, to take up their crosses and lose their lives in order to save them. And then 8 days later, he went up on that mountain to pray, seeking God's help, seeking strength and courage to remain faithful, to trust God, no matter what might come. And we read that Moses and Elijah appeared to him speaking of his departure. That's what they were talking about. They were talking about what was coming. They were talking about that he was going to die. And Moses and Elijah, we know, are the two greats of the Jewish tradition. Moses, the liberator. Moses, the lawgiver. The one who spoke face to face with God on Mount Sinai. The one who brought the slaves out of Egypt and led them to Jordan River, the brink of the Promised Land. And Elijah, the greatest of the prophets, the one who stood up to the evils of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, who competed with the prophets of Baal for the people's faith by calling down fire from God to consume the offering on the mountain. But when you read Moses and Elijah's stories, I think you can also remember that they both had their doubts and their fears. It wasn't like becoming the greatest was easy. Moses, who had killed an Egyptian, protested to God that there's no way he could go back to Egypt. And by the way, he stuttered. He couldn't speak well. How was he going to speak to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let the slaves go? And Elijah, after his powerful moment on top of the mountain with the prophets of Baal, ran because Jezebel was trying to kill him, and he hid in a cave for fear of his life and felt that there was no one faithful left in all of Israel except him. And 1 Kings 19 tells us that God said, "Go out and stand at the mouth of the cave." And a mighty wind came, but God was not in the wind. And an earthquake came, but God was not in the earthquake. And a fire came, but God was not in the fire. God was in the still, small voice, telling him he was not alone. 7,000 had not bowed their knees to Baal. So on that mountaintop, Elijah and Moses showed up for Jesus. These two greats of the past met with him, I believe, to give him hope and courage to go talking with him, communing with him. He was transformed into his highest self. He was lifted above his fears and his uncertainties. He was lifted into the greatness of his purpose. And the voice came, "This is my chosen. Listen to him." It was God's blessing, God's confirmation that what he was doing was right. And Jesus came down off that mountain knowing the path ahead and choosing to take it. We read just a little later in Luke, same chapter, verse 51, that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He would not run away. He would not turn aside from his destiny. He would trust in God and give himself away in love. When I sent David Coy the video of the children's story, David wrote back what I did not know. Did you notice at the beginning and the end, before the story, that image of the bird with the egg in its mouth looking back? David told me that this was referenced. This is a Sankofa read aloud story. And he said Sankofa is a word from the Twi language of Ghana, and it represents a symbol. The symbol of a bird looking back, holding a precious egg in its mouth. And the proverb is, "It is not wrong to go back for that which you have forgotten." Representing the need to reflect on our past, to draw from our past, to move forward to a successful future. And so it struck me. Jesus drew from these spiritual greats of his past, Moses and Elijah, to find the wisdom and faith he needed for the future he was confronting. And as we heard these women's biographies today from Black history, we are called to do the same as we face the challenges of our lives, whether it's the stories from Scripture, the story, of course, of Jesus himself, but also other greats of human history, people who have found faith and courage to do incredibly difficult things and to find ways to do it with love, to do it with nonviolence, to be brave and powerful and to make change happen. Their lives can give us hope and courage. And I do know we need hope and courage right now. We are living through difficult times. And we know that stress is cumulative. It builds. And we pick it up from other people. And it accumulates over time. And our brains are built to do that. We're meant to use that capacity to connect with each other and help each other regulate. But it can work the opposite, can't it? We can pick up on each other's stress and just ramp each other's up. And I think there's a lot of that that's been going on as we've dealt here in America with the political whatever, since 2016 at least, right? And with pandemic across the world. And so this week, with this awful outbreak of war in Ukraine, I've just felt it in my body. The stress, the anxiety, the concern, and the sense, as I talked to one of you this week, that there's not a clear end in sight of any of this. It's so easy for the reactivity to ramp up. How do we live as people of faith? How do we find the inner strength and wisdom we need not to be reactive, but to draw from these wells, these sources of wisdom for the faith and love that we so much need? And I believe there are people of faith of every generation, from the scriptures all the way down to the present day, who can help us find the way forward. They can inspire us, motivate us, show us the ways of love and peace. And we have our deep, transcendent connection to God's Spirit, here, present, available for us always, to lift our hearts, to give us courage, to strengthen our hope, to keep on keeping on. Last night, Bill found an article from Christianity Today that came out, I think, on the 24th or 20th, the last couple days, about what's happening to the church, Protestant churches in Ukraine right now. So far, none of the churches, no churches have been hit, although the home of one Baptist family has been destroyed. And I learned that the Baptist Union is the largest Protestant body in the Ukraine. I've got to stop saying the. And that Baptist leaders there are working hard, Protestant leaders, all people of faith leaders are working hard, calling for calm, calling for prayer. People talking about how people feel helpless, but churches are opening their doors to try to give aid, trying to help people who need to get away, to try to get to the border. One church had scrounged up money to rent a van to transport children and older people. We urge you to remain calm. Don't give in to panic, says the umbrella organization, Ukrainian Council of Churches and Religious Organizations. And this is a prayer from one of those leaders. Let me find it here. But first, let me say that they said that many pastors, many leaders are saying they will not leave. One man wrote, "I talked to my wife about evacuation, and she immediately said, 'I will be with you to the very end.'" I heard another pastor's wife interviewed on NPR on Friday. Her name is Maya. She didn't say what church, but she said, "My husband is a pastor. We're not leaving. We're not going anywhere. We have to stay with our people." So the prayer, our prayer today, is that God's will spreads on earth as it is in heaven, said one man. And another said, "When this is over, the citizens of Kyiv will remember that Christians have responded in their time of need. We will shelter the weak, serve the suffering, and mend the broken. And as we do, we offer the unshakable hope of God." They said people have been reaching out, showing up in worship services in unprecedented numbers. And the rabbi, a leader of the Jewish community in Ukraine, called on all people of faith to pray together Psalm 31. I'm not going to read it all. It's long, but I would recommend it. But a few excerpts. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me and rescue me. Be a rock, a fortress of refuge from me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock, my fortress. Your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden from me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus said that on the cross. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Be gracious, O Lord, for I am in distress. I waste away from grief, my soul and body. My life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing. I am the scorn of my adversaries. I pass out of mind like one who is dead. I become a broken vessel. I hear the whispering terror all around me. They scheme against me. They plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. How abundant is the goodness you have laid up for those who fear you, O God. All that you have accomplished for those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter. Blessed be God, for God has wondrously shown God's steadfast love to me. When I'm beset as a city under siege, I said in my alarm, I'm driven far from your sight, but you heard me when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you God's saints. God preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong. Let your heart take courage, all who wait for the Lord.